What happened that day when the Spirit arrived, when the Holy Spirit came? What happened then? It got loud. Loud enough to be heard all over town. Fire appeared, divided and dispersed to each of them. The outsiders came running, and they heard the fire talkers tell of God's mighty works in their own language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, and Arabians. The Spirit had come to describe the glory of God in their native tongues through those who followed Christ. These representatives of the world stood astounded but curious, bewildered but ready. Then Peter showed them from the Scripture exactly what it meant, revealing God's promise to all who trust in Jesus. And many believed, and many repented, and many were baptized, and many were saved. The Spirit had come. The church was born.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you are paying the least bit of attention, you already know it is the birthday of the church today. I mean, what an amazing day it is. Pentecost is the day that we celebrate when Jesus kept his promise that the Holy Spirit would pour down upon his church like fire and on wind. And on that day, so long ago, it was earth, wind, and fire. And let me tell you, nothing has been the same since. It was real power, it was raw power, it was God's power, and it literally changed the world. There is no rational explanation for what happened on that first Pentecost so long ago, and that's actually a problem for folks like us, 21st century Christians that are well-educated, that believe in science. It's so hard for us to get our hands around this idea of a Holy Spirit. We're good with God the Father, we're good with God the Son, but this invisible Spirit that causes transformation, that's difficult for us to understand. I mean, it's hard to imagine wind and fire making that much of a difference. So maybe we need a reminder. One of the greatest English monarchs that ever lived was Queen Elizabeth I. She ruled for over 40 years, and she understood power in a way that most of us will never learn. As an unmarried female, her throne was often in jeopardy, but she never wavered. She knew her power, she claimed her power, and she used it over and over again. One of the greatest threats to her throne came from her brother-in-law, King Philip of Spain. He wanted that country, he wanted that throne, and he would do anything to make it happen. And so he assembled the greatest fleet the world had ever known, and he sent the Spanish Armada sailing up the coast of England. The English fleet was badly outnumbered. The battle raged, and the English captains became so desperate because they knew they were losing that they would set fire to their wooden ships and try to ram the Spanish ships. They were willing to do anything to save their country. And then it happened. A wind began to blow. A storm began to come up. It was a gale force wind. Now, the English captains, they knew that area. They knew where to run to on the coast, but not the Spanish Armada. And after that huge storm was over, over 50% of the Spanish ships were sunk. And the balance of power shifted for over 200 years to England. Isn't it amazing what a little fire and a little wind can do? And that's why the church needs to be reminded of Pentecost, probably more than once a year. Now, as our scripture opens today, Jesus has already ascended into heaven. He's gone back to be with his Father. He had told his disciples, don't panic, Just hang in there with me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and its power to you. And so that's what they did. They watched, they waited, they gathered in a room together. Now, we call the day Pentecost. It comes from a Greek word that means 50. And that makes sense because Pentecost happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. But before Jesus, Pentecost had a different name. Originally, it was a Jewish festival, agricultural festival, celebrating the Feast of First Fruits. It was called Shavuot. Then later on, it kind of morphed into celebrating the giving of the law to Moses at Mount Sinai. And then, of course, after the birthday of the church, that's when we began to call it Pentecost. So who was on the guest list for that first birthday party? Well, the group included the 11 of the remaining apostles, the disciples, the newly chosen Matthias. He took Judas's place. There were lots of women there that day, including Mary, mother of Jesus, and Jesus's brother James was there as well. And there were also other believers. Now, all of them were gathered together, waiting, hoping, watching for this Spirit to show up. Now, they didn't understand what the Holy Spirit was going to be. They didn't actually understand who Jesus was at that place in time. But they knew they were told to wait. And then it happened. Earth, wind, and fire. I love the description of Pentecost. It's written by this guy named Jim Callahan. And boy, did I wish I had written it. Listen to his words. Suddenly, the whole place was smoking. And the disciples of Jesus looked like oversized trick birthday candles crowned with tongues of flame that even the mighty wind could not blow out. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? I mean, what an amazing sight. What happened to those 120 people was extraordinary. In fact, it was so extraordinary, some people even said they were drunk, but they weren't. It was so amazing what was going on that all kinds of people from the city came running. Now remember, Jerusalem always had lots of pilgrims coming in for the festivals. They also had lots of people coming from all over the empire to live in Jerusalem. And so what that meant is there were many, many different languages spoken in the city because each person had their own native language. But Greek was the language of the empire. Greek was the language of the business and of commerce. And most people spoke Greek and their native language. But when those folks came running on that Pentecost so long ago, when they peeked in the windows, when they looked through the doors, what they heard was not the language of the oppressors. They heard their own native language being spoken. I mean, can you imagine the power of that, the unexpectedness of that, to hear their own language? I mean, it was amazing. And that's why the Holy Spirit gave those 120 people the ability to speak other languages so that all the world could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, when earth, wind, and fire get together, you need to watch out because something big is going to happen. Before that first Pentecost was over, the disciples of Jesus Christ had grown from 120 to over 3,000 people. That is what I call a very successful altar call. I mean, can you imagine? But the most shocking thing was not the wind, it was not the fire, it was the transformation of those people. And remember, they were nothing special, they're just people like you and me. I mean, shy people became bold. Afraid people became brave. People were changed in so many ways. Those first disciples who could not walk and chew gum without Jesus, suddenly they found abilities inside of them they never even dreamed existed. I mean, they opened their mouths and they taught and they preached like Jesus. They reached out and touched people and they healed them like Jesus. It was astonishing. I mean, they were doing things that only Jesus could do. And there is only one explanation for what happened. It is the Holy Spirit. In a single moment, the world turned and it was changed forever. And if you want to hear the rest of the story, read the book of Acts. In fact, we call Acts the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And the reason I love it so much is we learn what God can do with inadequate, clueless human beings through the power of the Spirit. But if you only hear one thing today, only one thing, this is what you need to know about what happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit swept in and did CPR on a bunch of people just like you and me. And they were changed enough to transform this world. I mean that literally. They transformed the world. But that was almost 2,000 years ago. And you kind of have to wonder what's been going on since then. I mean, is the Holy Spirit still in our churches? I mean, setting us on fire, blowing open our church doors every single Sunday? But maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe what I need to be asking is, does the church still believe in a God of Pentecost? Do we still believe in a God that uses the Holy Spirit to change us and then uses us to change the world? So, if the answer to those two questions is yes, then why are all the major Christian denominations in free fall? Why has the United Methodist Church been losing membership since the 1960s? I mean, we have to ask that question, and I have some theories about it. I'm wondering if maybe we prefer earth with no wind and no fire. Maybe we have become so comfortable, so nice, so safe, that we have this kind of unspoken agreement among us that divine power, it's a little too much trouble. It's a little too much effort because we're busy people with very hectic lives. So we'll just show up on Sunday like we've always been doing. We'll stay safe and secure inside the walls of all our churches. While we can even circle up, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya till Jesus comes back. That's what we can do. Or we can do something else because it's not too late to change. My very first job at any church was director of their Mother's Day Out program. But to get that job, I had to be certified in CPR. No problem. I'm an excellent student. I'm a competitive student. I make A's in everything. I aced the written test. I did not miss a single question. I knew the process and the procedures backwards and forwards. How many breaths to breathe. How many chest compressions to do. But I almost flunked the class because of one single thing. The very first thing we learned in class was to ascertain the situation and to call for help. Before you did anything, we were taught to yell aloud, "I need help here. Call 911. I just couldn't do it. I mean, come on, it was a classroom situation. I get embarrassed really easily, and the idea of actually yelling that out inside a building with a bunch of people I didn't know, I just could not do it. I just didn't feel like it was necessary. I would not call for help. Completely exasperated with me, the instructor finally said, "Lady, you cannot save somebody by yourself. We all need help." And he was right. We do. And that brings us right back to that question today. Do we still believe in a God of Pentecost? Do you still need the power of the Holy Spirit in your own life? I mean, do you want a divine wind in your life, blowing it into new patterns and giving you new possibilities? Is there a place in your life where you need to call 911? Only you can answer those questions. But if you say yes, then this is all you have to do to make it happen. It's really very simple. All you have to do is pray a three-word prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. And the Spirit will show up in your life. But I'm here to tell you, that is a very dangerous prayer. Do not pray it. Unless you mean it. That's step one. But then, you have to learn to recognize the movement of the Spirit. That's step two. Now, it's easy to see the movement of the Spirit when it's a holy hurricane, when it's something big, when a church reduces their debt by 68%. We can see the Holy Spirit then. But what about when the Spirit blows very softly, barely moving the leaves of our life? We have to pay attention to see it then. Here's a couple examples. Have you ever hit one of those patches in your life when everything kind of gets a little bit stale, a little bit mundane? Nothing's really wrong. You've just kind of lost your mojo a little bit. You know, you get up, you eat breakfast, you work all day, you come home, you eat dinner, you go to bed, and you do it over and over again. And it's just like somebody took the joy out of your life. Has that ever happened to you? But then it happens. The smallest thing can make a difference. You wake up one morning and you hear the birds singing and you find yourself smiling for no particular reason. You walk out and down your driveway to get the newspaper and you notice that your neighbor's roses are blooming and they're so beautiful. Or you take a deep breath and you smell that smell of rain in the air. And all of a sudden, you take a deep breath, and for the first time in months, you get a second wind. Now, you can call that anything you want to call it, but I call it the movement of the Spirit. Here's another example. Another way we feel the movement of the Spirit is in our relationships. I don't know about you, but I do not always get along with every single person in my life. And I suspect I'm not the only one in the room who can say that. I mean, we can become estranged from the people we care most about. I mean, they say something, we say something, they do something, we do something. And the next thing you know, we have all gone too far. And there is this separation, this gulf between us. And we're mad and we're hurt and we won't do anything and we let it go on way too long and we don't know how to make it right anymore. But then suddenly, someday, for no reason you can really ever figure out, something inside of your heart says, now, now. And you go to them or you call them on the phone and you just say, hello. And in that moment, your heart opens, and their heart opens, and somehow you find your way back to one another. Now, you can call that anything you want, but I call it the movement of the Holy Spirit. You see, if we'll pay attention, the signs of the Spirit are all around us, changing our lives, transforming this world. And in case you don't believe me, all you have to do is look at this church, United First Church of Alabaster. I mean, this is a Holy Spirit church. Always has been, always will be, especially if you know the history of this church. Back in 1890, the Methodists of Alabasters decided they needed a church, so they got together over near the rock quarry and they bought a plot of land for a dollar. Wasn't that the good old days, a plot of land for a dollar? They built a church and they called it the Bethlehem Methodist Episcopal Church South. Time passes. The church changes. They decide they need to move. So they buy more land and they build just down the street from us on 119 in Siluria. They build this pretty little sanctuary and one extra room for storage and to teach the children. Great little church. But they change the name again. They call it the Siluria Methodist Church this time. Time passes. Things change and they decide to move again. And so they move right across the parking lot from us at the founding church site. But before they moved, they took down the old sanctuary. They kept all the boards and they kind of rolled them down the highway to be used in the new building. And sometime in that process, that name changed again. Can you believe that? And we were known as the Central Methodist Church. Time passes. The church changes. And they build a brand new sanctuary. And they turned the old sanctuary into the fellowship hall. And once again, we've got a new name, First United Methodist Church of Alabaster. Fast forward, 1996, we get a brand new minister here, Reverend Joe Rains. God bless him. He is assigned to our church. And 3 weeks after he gets here, the old sanctuary and the education building burn down. In fact, this summer it will mark 20 years since that happened. One of the matriarchs of the church told me she came up to the church as soon as she heard what was happening, and she watched it burn, and she cried. She cried, and she said out loud, "Jesus, why did you burn down our church?" But then she realized he didn't have anything to do with it, but he was going to help them in the future. And so by the very next day, they were planning to rebuild. Time passes. Church changes. They're outgrowing that new sanctuary, and so they think, okay, we'll build behind the founding church. And they drew up plans. They were ready to roll until they realized it wasn't going to meet their needs, and it was going to cost way too much, and they were going to have to do something different. And so, in the most amazing decision I've ever heard of a church making, you decided to buy a shopping center, even though it even wasn't for sale at that particular moment in time. But you voted yes anyway. And somehow you made that work. And 5 years ago, we celebrated our first worship service right here in this space we call Restore, in what used to be the Winn-Dixie grocery store. How in the world does stuff like that happen? I mean, you can't make that stuff up. How in the world does that happen? How does a church move again and again and again like that? Power of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness of the people. How does a church not only survive but thrive for over 100 years? Power of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness of its people. How does a congregation stand and watch their church burn and then plan to rebuild the very next day? It's the Spirit, and it's the faithfulness of those people. And how in the world does a church decide to buy a shopping center and turn a grocery store into a church? It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is the faithfulness of the people. And that is what I'm asking you to remember and to claim once again. 6 months ago, we voted to sell the rental properties. 6 months ago, we voted to do that and keep every single thing that matters to us. It was a tough decision for the church to make. It really was. And we all know why. It was the death of a dream. And it's hard to let go of dreams. But one of the things God has taught this church over and over again is God will always give us a new dream. A dream where we can keep everything we need and reduce our debt by 68%. A dream where we can finish out the Restore space someday. The original plans talked about a children's department, more youth space, adult Sunday school classrooms, a new fellowship hall, commercial kitchen, even new church offices back in there. But even better, God gives us the dream of reaching out into this community in ways we have never been able to do before. I got to tell you, we are this close to one of the biggest transformations that has ever happened to any church. But you need to hear me clearly. It depends on you, every blessed one of you. It's like I said before, if we give faithfully to the general fund, if we pledge and give what we said we would to the research fund, we're going to be debt free in 3 years. And I got to tell you, I'm here to see it, because there will be no stopping God then. My friends, this amazing church, it's been reinventing itself over and over and over for 100 years. And God is not through with us yet. I was standing in line at the drugstore a couple of weeks ago. I had to pick up a prescription, and I was on my way home from work, so I had my church name tag on. And there was a pretty long line, and we're all just kind of chatting among ourselves. You know how Southerners are. We'll talk to strangers. And the guy in front of me was talking to me, and he glanced down, and he saw my church name tag. And he said, are you one of those pastors at that Methodist church up on 119? And the way he said it, I'm not sure I wanted to say yes, but I had my name tag on, so I had to. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, are you that church? Are you that church that built that house for that guy that was so sick? And I said, yes, sir, we are. And there were other churches that helped us. He paused a minute and he said, imagine that. Imagine that. Churches working together to do what churches were supposed to do all along. He was right. He was right. But it can only happen through the power of the Spirit and the faithfulness of its people. I mean, we're living in a beautiful world, but it is broken. I mean, let's be honest, this world's on life support, and we cannot survive without the power of the Spirit. But first, we've got to answer those questions. Do we still believe in a God that can change us as individuals and then use us to transform this world? And if we do, it is way past time to call 911 and name and claim the power of the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us. So now, I ask you to bow your heads and let me pray a very dangerous prayer for us all. Will you pray? Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Blow through our lives and blow through this church and change us all forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.